Hello. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm happy to see all y'all here. My parents are not going to be here, obviously, as you couldn't tell. They are in Hawaii. They are relaxing. They are spending time there with each other, just relaxing. I don't know how long they're going to be gone. They didn't tell me nothing. But my assumption, they'll be back by Sunday. Maybe. Maybe not. Thursday? The 13th. Oh, see, they didn't tell me that. I got Dave over here who knows more about my parents than I do. That's lovely. Thank you, Dave. I'm glad I know that. No, I'm just kidding. But as they're over there, just know that they are still praying for you. They're still thinking about you. And I'm sure that my dad is still preparing and getting himself ready for each and every single time he has to come up here and give you guys the word. Well, while he's out, you guys get the pleasure and the blessings of our children's pastor, Jared, giving the message today. So you guys are gonna get a taste of what he teaches down there and how he teaches, because he does teach the fire in the Word of God. So I'm gonna go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Father God, I thank you for the service this morning, Lord God. I thank you that your presence just comes in, Lord God, and you just show up in each and every single person's life that's here, Lord God, and we just get to see you and experience you in the service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning. I need a little assistance this morning. We don't have a guitar player, but anyway, just like Pastor Regina has been expressing, we are going to exalt the Lord today. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to shout. We're going to jump. We're going to dance. This altar is open for worship. So today I encourage you to be free in the Lord this morning. And we're going to go deeper with Christ today. Spirit, take my hand now and lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring, you are serene. You're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deep. church, there is healing in the water of Jesus. You're the river, it will never find the end. There is freedom in the water, there is healing in the water of Jesus. You're the river, it will never find the end. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. Lord, we praise your name.
Let me down. You're
Today, God is so faithful. He is so good that He will never let you down. So let's sing that again. You're never gonna let me down. 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 'Cause you are good. You're good.
For His love, you have been so.
so good to me. When I found no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been sold so Jesus left the 99 and came for the one. How many know that we are that one? That Jesus came after us. He came with his loving arms. It didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter what we did. He came after us because of his unconditional love that he has. We couldn't do anything to earn it. We don't deserve it. But yet he reached out his hand. Loved us. He went after us. So let's sing this again. He is so good to us. His overwhelming, never ending. It didn't matter what we did. What, even if it was yesterday, God forgives. All we have to do is come to him with the forgiving. Say, God, I forgive. I ask you to forgive me. And he comes. And with that loving hand, and he forgives us because of that unconditionally love. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And oh, it chases me down, fights till I found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, but still you give yourself away. No, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, you forgave us, Lord, and we're so grateful. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Come on, let's sing this morning. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. He's coming after you today, church. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, are so thankful for the love that you showed us, God. And we just want to lift your praise on high this morning. Take a few moments in our own words, and we just worship you this morning. God, we magnify your name. God, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lifter of our head. God, you're our strong tower, our strength, our joy, our peace, our deliverance, God. God, and we just magnify you today. You give life. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we your hands this morning. Lord God, we just worship you. We just praise your name, and we thank you that you give hope, God, wherever is needed this morning. God, you give joy. God, you give everything that we need this morning. And I thank you, God, that there's healing in the house. God, there's restoration in the house this morning. God, and we lift our hands in surrender. We lift our hands to you in praise and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Your praise, our hearts will cry. these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Lord, we just lift you up this morning, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Yeah.
breath that you've given us, God. God, and with our breath, we honor you and we give you praise and adoration this morning. And we just magnify your name in Jesus' name.
You talk about just sitting here in his presence and sitting here and reveling on who he is. I felt like there's some people in here who don't fully understand what it means to have a God who's willing to die for you. Or you may not believe it, or you may not think that there's much he can do for you, or your situation's too rough. Well, listen, God brought somebody back from the dead. He healed blind eyes, he healed the sick. He made a donkey speak. I mean, God can make an animal speak. I'm pretty sure he can deal with your life. But the thing is, you have to be open and willing to allow him to come in and touch your life in order for it to change. So I feel like I just need to let you know that as this message goes on and as you hear the words that are spoke, know that they're from God, and just give it a real, true, honest ear and listen. Don't just hear it. You can hear all you want to, but you have to listen. You have to open up. You have to actually add it and apply it to your life and put it into action before we actually believe that you're listening to what's being taught. All right? Okay. It's time for announcements. There is an intercessory prayer every Wednesday night here at the church at 5:00. If you believe that that's you, that you're somebody who wants to intercessor for everybody in here, for the church, for the city, for the county, just for everybody, make sure you're here on Wednesday at 5. The third Thursday of the month, which this coming month is October 19th, not like this paper says, the 20th is a Sunday. But the third Saturday, it's the men's breakfast. Men who have been there, I know that you'll make it out if you can. Men who have not been there and are contemplating it, make sure you get there. Listen, we're not just eating breakfast and talking about football and all this good stuff. We are really digging down deep and building a foundation, not just for ourselves, but for our families and our future. So make sure you get there. Then the third Sunday of the month, which is the 20th, here at 5:30, I will be having our teen meetings. So if you're a teenager and you're in school and you think you might want to come, come. And if you come and you're like the only girl, make sure you bring a friend. So that happens sometimes, and I always feel bad because there's sometimes just one girl and a bunch of guys, and we're all sitting there talking. But just, if you can, make sure you come out. It'll be fun. You get free pizza, too. Listen, Isaiah, you can't eat all of it, okay? Listen, this is going to be your first one. There is a rule. You have to save some for other kids. Do you understand me, Isaiah? I don't think you fully do. All right. Isaiah. All right.
So good.
Okay, so women, I guess I'll announce this first since it's next month. October 26th, you girls are having a shopping day. And
more details to follow.
Men who have wives who are letting your women go. Oh, well, I guess not letting. They're going to go anyway. But Linda said just to give them your wallet. I don't know if that's a good idea, but I'm not married, so I can't really give you advice. So, and then on December 7th, the women will be having a Christmas party. So I don't know all the details of that. You'll know as it comes up. And then last, we're updating the church directory. So if you're not in it and you want to be in it, make sure you get with Kim Thomas, or my mom, not this week, my mom won't be here. Or if you moved and you want people to know where you moved, you change your phone number, anything that you have that you want us to know that we don't know, just make sure you get with one of those two and we'll have it. So before we let Jared bring the message, we're going to first release the children, and then I'm going to talk about offering. Kenzie. She's not listening. That's all right. There she goes. Huh? I had no idea what you're talking about. All right. So, as I was thinking about offering this week, I was thinking about a passage of scripture that we all know pretty well. It's in Malachi chapter 3, and obviously 10:11, where it talks about bringing your stores into the storehouse and proving now we're therewith. But before that, there are two scriptures that I always read, and I always thought, I think somebody's locked in the bathroom. Huh? Oh. Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry. False alarm. Okay. So back to topic. When I read these scriptures, it's Malachi 3, 8, and 9. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." When I would read that growing up and for the longest time, I always thought that that just meant me giving. Like if I didn't give at a certain time, that I'm robbing God because I didn't give. What I'm starting to realize is it's not just in giving the money. It's in the heart that I give it for, the intention that I give it for, and the honor that I give it for. So what I realize is that when I give it out of just a habit, I'm robbing God of the honor that's due. If I give it because, well, it says in the Bible, and that's the only reason I give it, and it's just head knowledge, then I'm robbing God of his honor. And if I sit there and I look at all my other bills and all my other stuff, and I see that as more important than making sure that I give to God, even in the moments where I may not feel I have the money to do so, then I'm robbing God of his ability to bless me in moments that I need it and where I need it. So I just wanted to kind of give a reminder to make sure that when we're giving our offering, that we're not just doing it out of habit. We're not just doing it out of the fact that it's what we're supposed to do. And we're not just doing it just to get something out of it, but we're doing it because it's God's. And we're doing it to honor God. We're doing it out of reverence for who he truly is and honoring who he is with it. So as the buckets come out, I'm going to pray. We're going to get the offering done. And we're going to bring up Jared for the message so I can get out of his hair. All right. Father God, I thank you for this offering. I pray that you bless the people that can give, Lord God. I pray that you bless each and every single person in here, Lord God, that their hearts are contrite toward you, Lord God, that as they give, that they're focused on honoring you, Lord God, and they're focused on blessing just who you are with their actions, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because your love keeps going deep.
So without keeping you guys waiting any longer, we're going to let Jared Kaiser, the children's pastor, come up and share you what God's put on his heart for this morning.
Thank you, Philip. Good job this morning. Thank you, church. It's great to be here with you guys, as always, on a beautiful Sunday morning in God's house. No place else we would rather be, second only to our beds, right? Amen. But it is good to be here with you guys. It's always a joy, always a privilege. I always count it an honor. And to stand in this pulpit that's been forged out in faith and sacrifice and dedication and with integrity. Okay, this has been fought for and sacrificed for. So I thank God for our pastors. Speaking of, it's a blessing that they get to go and rest and enjoy some relaxation, some peace and quiet. They've been in a pretty intense season where, you know, how many are thankful for our building that is going up? And that is, you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. He deserves that. He's been faithful, though we may have wondered what's going on, what's taking so long, but God is good, always on time, okay? And we can see that more clearly afterwards. But we're thankful for our pastors that have been making decisions, been praying, fasting, seeking God, been in the fire about getting this building on the run. And so before we go on, I'd like to take a minute to pray for them and that God would just bless their time and just give them some sweet rest, okay, and relaxation, and give them what they need to continue on through this, the rest of this season, and to finish strong. So let's bow our heads and let's join our faith and let's pray and seek God for our pastors. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Pastor Phil, Pastor Regina, God. Lord God, how they love us, how they lead us. God, they are our shepherds, God. They are our pastors, and we thank you that you have brought them into our lives. God, and I pray that as they are, God, resting on the beautiful beaches of Hawaii and your glorious creation there, God, that they would truly be at peace, that they would truly find rest in you and relaxation, God, and strengthening their marriage one with another, God, strengthening their relationship with you, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, God, and bless their time of rest, God, and just fill them and renew them with zeal and fervor and passion, God, and fill them with wisdom, oh God, and discernment, God, for the rest of this building phase, God, and I thank you for that. Pray that you protect them, bring them back safely. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one more prayer that we need to bring before the Lord. We had, I know that we had a family that had to take their son to the ER last night from getting hit on the head and been dealing with some sickness. So we want to lift up the Johnson family and just pray that God would touch them, because I know that I've been in a little communication with Logan, and, you know, it's not just one of them now that they're all dealing with something that's a little bit contagious. So we want to pray that they would be healed and protected, okay? So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your healing power, your healing presence. God, we lift up the Johnson family. God, we just pray for the touch of God upon them. God, right now, I loose the working of miracles. I loose the gifts of healing, and I ask for healing. I ask for restoration of health, God, and I rebuke sickness and I rebuke disease in the name of Jesus, and I decree and declare, God, that they are at full strength, God, not contagious, healthy, God, and sickness has been cast out. We thank you for that, and we ask that protection upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, everybody still with me this morning? Yeah, God is good, and he is faithful, and honor is due our God. And our pastor has been bringing us along now, getting us started on a series called Honor is Due. All right, and we're just kind of getting into that. I know as soon as he gets back, he's going to launch us out deeper yet into different areas and in different subjects. So God really put it in my spirit to stay in that same vein, okay, to stay right along with that. So today, continuing in our Honor is Due series, we're going to talk about a lifestyle of honoring God, that it can't just be something that, you know, we attempt to do or think about, but it needs to be in our everyday living, that we honor God in all areas of our lives. So I got a passage of scripture. If you guys can turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 13, verse number 1. We're going to read a passage of scripture here. We're going to lay a foundation of where this all comes from. I know the pastor has been touching out of this these scriptures here, but it's really important that we understand what God's word says directly to us about honor and about who it is due and why. So, in Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you can, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. I always get hung up on that spot right there. It says, an avenger. So I automatically think of the Avengers. I get Captain America going on in my brain. And and I don't know, I'm a big superhero guy. I enjoy all that stuff. And so I didn't know that God had his own avenger. But so God has an avenger and to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So it's not something that we're just making up that pastor thinks would be a good thing for us to do. This is God's word. This is God's commands for our life. This is what we are supposed to be doing as Christians, as followers of Jesus. Now, here's the definition of the word honor. Honor is reverence or respect for God and all he stands for. It is adherence to what is right. And it is also to fulfill an obligation. You know, you're going to honor your word. You may have heard this from time to time from somebody in authority that you or a friend, whoever it might be. Okay, so you bring all these three together and they combine to produce a lifestyle of honor that is due our God. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. Okay, now, I am children's pastor here, and so I'm used to teaching younger ones, and so you guys are doing a good job sitting still, paying attention, sitting up in your chairs real nice and straight and everything, and I haven't had anybody raise their hand yet and ask me a strange off-the-wall question. Okay, but I would appreciate, I guess, a little audience participation. You got to help me out a little bit here. So I want to know, and you guys actually don't have to say this out loud, but I want in your mind to think of, you to think of the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word honor. The first thing that pops into your mind when you hear the word honor. Now, it could be, you know, we've heard stories of ladies of chivalry, of knights in shining armor, you know, who fight for the honor of their fair maiden. Is that a thing anymore? all right, guys, maybe it's a soldier, a valiant soldier that's fighting for a just and worthy cause, okay? I know we have men and possibly women that have served in the armed forces in here, and the military does know a thing or two about honor. As a matter of fact, when I Google searched great stories of honor, the whole thing was filled with nothing but military references of men and women who fought valiantly in battle, okay, and who were bestowed the Medal of Honor. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later on because Kenton has a part to play in some of that, but maybe it's a superhero like the Avengers we just talked about. You know, I like Captain America. One of those reasons being is because, you know, he's portrayed as a guy that has honor, okay, that will fight for, you know, freedom, for his country, for what he believes in, you know, that won't just give in and quit and give up. Now, maybe it's someone who keeps their word, that you know that, man, you know, when this guy says it, book it, count on it, it's going to happen, all right? Now, my question to everybody here is this, is that from, you know, like I just gave maybe some examples, a list of what we might normally think of, but did anybody first and foremost think of the church or Christians in general? You know, I was praying about this, and God really ministered this to my spirit. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, that's a tough one to swallow. That whenever we think of honorable and noble things, the church or the people in it don't show up high up on that list. We think of other things first. Guys, and my challenge today, what the Lord would have to challenge to us today, is that we should be at the top of that list. Our place of honor should be high. We should be held in high regard because we're people of honor. You know, and we should stand out different from amongst the world, to be in it but not of it. Okay, so we should be image bearers and leaders of what giving honor in our daily lives look like. People should be able to look to us and say, hey, Dave, he's a Christian. You know, follow his example in this area. Follow his lead. He'll show you how it's done. He may not have to say a word the whole day, but he can watch and learn. All right? That's the way that it should be. The hard truth is overall the church lacks a lifestyle of giving honor. Sometimes we hear more negative things about the church and its behavior. Okay? Now, I'm not necessarily, you know, it's other churches, right? Maybe it's not just in this church, but, you know, but I'm talking about, yes, our church, but the church in general, the whole entire body of Christ. But this word is definitely specifically for us today, that I believe this comes from an attack from the enemy that we may not even realize is happening. We do have an adversary. The devil is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And sometimes he comes in with a roar, loud and proud, charging in, and we know that it's coming. And there's other times, though, if you've ever seen a cat, it can be sneaky, it can be stealth, it can be almost undercover, and before you know it, it's there, and it's right there, and you didn't even realize it. But we have to be aware, because there are things going on in our culture, in our society, that leads us to an honorless lifestyle that God would not have for us. So I want to bring some things to our attention today. I want to help us to see some things that we may just be doing or may be just acceptable in amongst our mindsets and our speech and our behavior that God doesn't necessarily want us to do that's not really honoring to him. Okay, so let's be aware of the enemy's traps. So let's start out with this. The very first relationship that God wants me to bring up to us is marriage. Who in here is married? Okay. All right, we have a lot of married folks in here. We have some, huh? Oh, she's not married today? just whenever, you know, if it's a good day, yeah, I'll claim him. If it's a bad day, no, I won't. But now, honestly, okay, no, I could go to any one of us here, but we have a young couple right here that's been in the beauty of this thing called marriage for many a days. All right? Now, marriage is a sacred covenant before God. Amen? All right? Marriage is actually the image of or the reflection of Christ and his church. That's what the Bible says, that we are, you know, an exact image or a reflection of that. So what we see going on between Christ and his church and the love that's supposed to be going on between them is what's supposed to be going on between a man and wife. You know, God has chosen that relationship and set that up and ordained that to do that. And it seems like a lot of responsibility to bear, but that's what we're supposed to do. We can do it. Now, in marriage, some things that are not honoring can sneak in. All right? If Carol's with some of his guy friends, some of his buddies, and they want him to go, you know, paintballing or riding the four-wheeler or, you know, whatever things that you guys your age will go out there and, you know, do, I don't know, horseshoes, shuffleboard, darts. if Carol would be like, hold on, let me check with Vicky. I want to make sure, see what our schedule is like, or make sure we have the finances. And then maybe he's with some guys that don't honor the covenant of marriage that well. They might get on his case and start making fun of him and tell him he's whipped. You know, that who wears the pants in that relationship? You going to tell that woman what you're going to do and how you're going to do it? Are you going to be whipped? Are you going to wear the pants or not? All right? And guys can tend to get on other guys about this. I see this all the time. You know, where it's like, you don't need to worry about that, what that woman says. You know, when Carol is trying to be a man of God and trying to show some respect, and then all of a sudden, you know, we can let these types of mindsets creep in. You get around that long enough, you start to accept that and start to be like, yeah, you know what? I'll be there, guys. Don't worry. I'll make it happen. Okay? But also, it's not just the guys who do stuff like this. The ladies can have their things too. Now, of course, not as much. You know, they're more perfect in the image of God than what we are. But so the ladies can, you know, just go ahead and just nag that man till you get what you want out of him. Go ahead and be like a drip of water. Drip, 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 right? On, like, I'm just going to keep after him until I get what I want. And maybe you can control that guy. You can manipulate that guy. I know what buttons to press to get my way, all right? So, but that would not be the way that God would want us to honor that marriage covenant either, right? But that can be prevalent in the world's eyes. I hear these kinds of things a lot, back and forth between men and women, bragging about it, telling stories about it, okay? Thinking that it's some great way to go about doing marriage. Now, generally, the people who talk like that don't have very good success rates, all right? Just keep that in mind. But, so, some of these may seem normal, but they shouldn't be. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians real quick, chapter 5. Just a scripture for the guys and a scripture for the ladies. And that will be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go verse 22. And it says this in Ephesians 5:22. Let me find it here. Okay, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, when we hear the word submit, instantly, especially in our culture today, women are like, you know, like, submit? Are you kidding me? You know, I'm not going to be controlled by a man. And that's not the point of this. The point is showing honor and showing respect as you would unto God. Jesus as your Lord, Jesus as your Savior, okay? Just like you would respect Jesus and give honor to him, respect, you know, the man that God has put in your life. Now, go on down here to 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's a tall order, guys. Christ loved the church so much, he humbled himself. Though he was at the right hand of the Father, he humbled himself to come down and walk this earth. To the point where the Bible says he made himself of no reputation as a servant, and then he humbled himself even to the point of death, and he gave up his very life for the church. Now, God is not necessarily asking you to go step in front of a bus for your wife if she doesn't look both ways. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully she knows how to cross the street. All right? Now, that would be a very honorable thing if you would, you know, protect your wife. But each and every day, how can you die to yourself and give yourself up to show honor to your wife and love her like Christ loved the church? And I would contend that that may be even more difficult on a daily basis to overcome selfish natures and your flesh and your pride, put those things down and give yourself up for your wife like Christ did the church. That's what he did. And that's what we should do as well. So the next time you hear, oh, you're just whipped or you just need to wear the pants in that relationship, that's not what this is about. This is about honoring God first and foremost and then honoring my wife as Christ did so for the church as well. All right? So, all right, I know you guys are having fun with marriage, but we can move on from that. So honor is due in the marriage covenant. It is not weak, gentlemen, to respect your wife and check the schedule with her. Now, I kind of make a little joke with it. I'm like, hold on, I got to check with the events coordinator. Okay, I assign her a professional title. All right, so then it kind of gets a laugh. It kind of gets a chuckle. Like, hey, I need to check with the events coordinator and the CFO and see what we got going on. And then if I get a approval, you know, if the rec is granted, then I'll come back with the cash and with the, you know, ability to go somewhere to do something. But, you know, but it's not a deal for me. It never has been. You know, I remember when I was at, you know, I've been at the same place of employment for 16 years. And I work automotive manufacturing, work out in the line. And you know what? That can be kind of a rough environment. You're listening to secular music playing all night long, blaring, and you got, you know, swearing, profanity going on. And this kind of stuff happening all night long. Talking negative about spouses, talking bad, complaining, whining, groaning, you know. And eventually, when you're in that type of situation, sometimes they notice more of what you don't do, okay, than what you actually, you know, do. So all of a sudden, after a while, some of the guys in my line are like, hey, man, what's your deal? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, I never hear you complain about your wife. I never hear you badmouth her or say anything bad about her. You know, I was like, you're right, you don't. What are you going to do for me? How are you going to help me? If anything is bad, if I am upset about something, if I have something to complain about, which I know that she's listening, I've never had anything to complain about in my marriage ever. It's just been perfect. No, that's a joke. Okay, so I'm like, why do I need to tell you guys this kind of stuff? You know, you're not going to pray for me. You're not going to encourage me in the Word of God. You're not going to lead me to a place of honoring my wife. All you're going to do is join in and give me all your bad advice. That's making all your own marriages unsuccessful. Okay, so marriage, man, it's a gift from God, and honor is doing it. And guys, it's the most manly thing you can do to show your wife some respect and honor her in these areas, all right? So let's just keep that in mind. Now, let's go to another one. The workplace. How many here has a job? I think everybody here is doing all right, or has a job, or has had a job at one point in time. Okay. No, I was going to ask who in here likes their job, but I don't want to put anybody on the spot with that. But let's talk about the workplace real quick. All right, let's see. Who do I want to pick one about the workplace? All right, who's going to be? Okay, I want to talk to Chris. Hi, Chris. I know that Chris has a job. I know that God has blessed her in this job, and he's promoted her in this job, and she's doing well. Now, if you go to work, and this could be true for any of us, and sometimes depending on our environments, okay, it could be different. But you go to a workplace, and you try to do right and respect your boss, do what your boss says. Now, it doesn't matter if you like them or not, or if they're your friend or not, but what matters is that you're doing this to honor God. But if you go to a workplace, you ever heard, like, you're just a company person. You know, you try to do what's right by the company, and it gets ridiculed, it gets made fun of. Oh, you're just a company man, you're just a company woman. Or, you know, you're just someone who's brown-nosing. You're just sucking up to your boss. All right? See, those kind of things that we might joke around about, or we might hear, it might discourage us, that actually lets us know we're heading in the right direction. Because the world does not want to honor. They want to dishonor and rebel and complain is what their natural tendency is to do. But when we're honoring God, we might get these labels. They might come against us. We hear these things, and we might think, we laugh them off. Or we're like, no, you know, I'm just kind of not like that. Because I had the same thing happen to me. I come to work. I was working second shift. I was working in a factory. Two things I never wanted to do. Okay, I had other plans in my mind. But, you know, when you fall in love, and when you get married young, and when you want to get a home and have a family and stuff, then you got to start taking responsibility. So that's what I did. I got a decent job, and it wasn't my favorite thing in the world. But I somehow got accused of being a company man. I work at a place called C-Tex, of being called Mr. C-Tex. Here he comes. You know, we should put your picture up on the wall. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's the way it is. And then, you also might get this. Oh, you just love this place, don't you? Sometimes we don't always love our jobs. Sometimes it's the last place in the world that we want to go to or be at. And for me, it was like that. Like, last place I wanted to be at was leaving my family in the middle of the afternoon on second shift and go work at a job that I didn't like, and then come home late at night after everybody was asleep and miss all this stuff and wash, rinse, repeat, and do it all over again. But I somehow got accused of being called a company man, and I love this place. But you know what? It wasn't because of that. It was because I loved God. And I was going to go to work, and I was going to do it with joy. I was going to do it with honoring the people that were above me. Because, I got my team leader was like, hey, I can put you beside anybody. There are certain people. When you work on a line, if you all have ever done that, certain people you just don't put next to each other. It's like, ready to light a match and watch it go. All right? But my team leader's like, I can put you next to anybody. It doesn't matter. You work with anybody. I'm like, yeah, because I'm here to work. I'm here to get along with people the best I can and honor God. So, God has some scripture in his word that I want to encourage us with that is found in Colossians. If you flip over just a few pages to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 23. Okay? Now, we can't get discouraged when we hear these things, when we're accused of these things. Okay? So let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." So when we show up to our workplace, we're not there for people, for individuals. We're there for God. We're there to honor Him. Now, whether it is that you work in an office, you drive a truck, you know, my dad's been a truck driver for almost 40 years. I know Dave drives semi-truck, all right? And all professions can have their challenges, can have their things. But Dave's been doing it for quite some time now, right? 30-some years. Yeah, just a few days. Okay. So, 3-plus decades. The man knows what he's doing. He could probably drive a truck, shift through the gears in his sleep. I'm sure he probably has these times whenever you do something long enough where you like space out and all of a sudden you're miles down the road and it's like, what happened here? How did I even get here? Because you're just so, you know your job so well. But I know Pastor Earl talks about this a lot. We don't want to go to our job, even if we've got it down pat and thinking, I got this handled. You know, God, you can help me out in some other area. You know, God can help us out in every area if we make ourselves available, if we'll give Him honor. You know, there's days where maybe He's not His sharpest. He didn't have enough cups of coffee. Okay, Stacy wanted to talk too late at night, and he didn't get as much sleep as what he wanted to get. God needs to be with us each and every day. He could give you an idea. He could give you a spark of wisdom. He could lead you to making an idea that would benefit your company and maybe change a policy, a regulation. If you go to honor God and you do it for Him and not for men, you see what the Lord does. He'll increase you. He'll give you favor, okay? So when we go to our workplace, we are to honor God and have a lifestyle of honor there for Him. Now, okay, young people. We got any young people in here? Oh, you guys are all young, right? Yeah, everybody raise their hand. Hallelujah. We are some youngins in here. Okay, I actually had a few teenagers in the first service. But if we are going, just like in a workplace, we go to school. You know, you guys all have kids or grandkids. You can work with them on this. You can encourage them on this because they hear this more than what they would probably like to hear from me downstairs. I challenge them about their attitudes towards school. Bad attitudes towards school throughout your life, maybe you'll keep that same bad attitude towards your job and your workplace. These are things that are trying to lay foundations in them right now, Xander. Oh, Xander's here. Ah, I didn't see him at first. Hallelujah. So Xander gets to be an example. You're in what grade, Xander? The third grade. The man's moving up in the world. Big stuff going on in the third grade. Okay, but listen, if you go to school and your kids go to school and they're trying to live a lifestyle of honor, they make him come home upset, distraught, frustrated because somebody at school called him a teacher's pet. I've been accused of that. And by no means am I trying to like get on my teacher's good side so she'll bump my grade up or something like that. But when you try to give honor and respect, young people especially, go down a path where they're coming into their own, where there's just a natural rebellious nature that wants to cycle through. And then it feeds off of each other when they're around other people at school. So they need our encouragement as parents, grandparents, family members, whoever it might be, influencers in their life, that if they go to school and try to give honor and do their best at their schoolwork and try to honor their teachers, they may get called a teacher's pet, a suck-up. Why are you kissing up to your teacher for like that? Oh, I'm looking right here, this young lady right here. She's like blending in. She's like looking like she's an adult. So I didn't even, what grade are you in? She's a freshman. So you're in high school. This is at its peak right now. If anybody tries to do anything nice to a teacher, it's like, oh, look at that kiss up right there. They're just a teacher's pet, right? All right. Well, you know what? And so that naturally just can discourage a young person from trying to live out a lifestyle of honor. Because all they're doing is just getting, you know, negative feedback from all their peers, from all their friends. Okay, and that can make it hard. All right, but this is where we have to stand in faith. Because when you live a lifestyle of honor and you go counterculture to what society and what the world is saying, and you do things God's way, okay, there's going to be some circumstances that might come up, or that will come up. All right, that you need to be prepared for and be able to stand firm in. Now, if we read in Colossians 3:17, just back a few verses, this is the attitude we should have when we're going into our school, and we can apply this to our workplace too. 3:17, it says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All that we do, everything that is going on in our lives, we can give it to God and we can show honor to him. Okay, so when the scripture becomes the reason why you do what you do, what others say is not going to matter. Okay, we need to hear the voice of God, God's word, and be encouraged by people around us that are living a lifestyle of honor to not give up. Okay, so just two more, and then we're going to land this plane, and then we're going to be done. All right, so relationships with others. Okay, so I think you lost something there. That's all right. Playing trucks is fun, man. Relationships with others. Now, this is talking about all of us. Look around, okay? Remember, I said I need a little bit of audience participation. Look to your neighbor, the one you like the best, and then look to your other neighbor, the one that's second on the list. Okay, look behind you. Look all around you. Look at each other good, all right? Look at how everybody looks nice today, smiling at each other and everything. Okay, we are in relationship with each other. You all know that? I hope you did. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And we all have relationships with each other. And I know that pastors even challenged some of us in here to go deeper with our relationships with each other within this church. Okay? Becoming people that talk with one another, that hold each other accountable, that help each other out. We have friendships. We have people that we work with. All that good stuff. Now, when we start getting into relationships, we can sometimes, you know, if some people talk over here and they go talk to somebody else over there, they're like, man, can you believe what that girl told me? Gossip can start to set in easily. We can start to be like, man, I don't know about them people. They're kind of weird. All right? So when we think of relationships with one another, okay, we have to be careful. We have to guard our hearts to show honor to one another. Okay, because we are to be of the same mind, the mind of Christ. We are to be in the same unity of the Spirit with one another. Okay, and other people need to see us modeling a godly, healthy friendship relationship with each other. They need to see, watch how them church people react with each other or interact with each other. They can laugh, they can joke, they can smile, they can pick on each other some, but yet they can also share the Word of God, they can pray for one another. They can, you know, encourage each other, hold each other accountable if need be serious. Okay, our relationships with each other need to be a model, an example for what healthy, God-given relationships are like to the world, to the people who don't know Jesus around us. Okay, so that's why we can't be like, did you hear what Pastor said? I can't believe he said that. We got to understand where jokes come from and not take them too seriously or too far. Okay, and just can not spreading things around that we're not sure are even true. We got to protect one another. We got to have each other's back. Okay? So, God's called us to serve and to love one another, to put each other above our own selves. If you guys will turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. Okay? Too often we can approach a relationship like, what's in it for me? How can this person benefit me? When God wants us to look at it, how can I help somebody else? How can I serve my friend here or my brother or sister in Christ? How can I invest into them? What can I give into them? Okay? So in 1 Peter 3, chapter number 8, I'm sorry, there's no 8 chapters in Peter. Verse 8, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So guys, we look at verse 8, where it says to love one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courteous. I have 6 boys. Being courteous is a daily challenge, okay? It's something that we invest into daily. We can't go a meal without, okay, we got to use our manners. Don't reach across this person. Say please. Say thank you. We have more challenges over where somebody's going to sit, who got to do this the longest. Like, I need, like, a referee outfit on with a whistle and a stopwatch to keep track of everything, to be fair, to be perfect. But, okay, so every day we're investing into, you know, our own kids about being courteous. Guys, being courteous, holding a door open for somebody, okay, smiling at somebody, asking them how they're doing, taking a minute to listen to them, showing those kinds of things, that's biblical. Those things go a long way. So people don't think that you're rude, stuck up, stuck on yourself, whatever the case might be. All right? So, I mean, I don't wish for you guys to see what goes on at the dinner table sometimes, because you might either get a good laugh or you might get scared. I don't know. But I know that it's a challenge. We try to teach them manners. We try to teach them just to be courteous. And I don't know if girls just get it more naturally. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't have any. But the boys, all the ladies are shaking their head like, no, okay. So it's just trying to teach little humans how to have some manners. I mean, that's a call of God. You didn't realize you needed a special anointing, you know, to direct the manners at the table. But I guess that you do. So we must prefer our brothers and sisters above our own selves. Okay, and that includes church leadership, submitting and honoring to the pastors that God has placed over us. Not talking about them if we were given an opportunity. Not spreading gossip. Not spreading our complaints instead of taking them to God. And then even to them first. And then see what happens. All right? So, in all of our relationships, we are, okay, to not return evil for evil. That's a big thing. Getting revenge. Well, that person did me like that, so I'm going to give it right back. And we hear that in the world all the time. And that's not how God has called us to act as Christians. Say, okay, you know what? That hurts. That's unfair. Everything within me wants to retaliate right now. But we can show love. We can show restraint and see what God does to help us actually be a blessing to that person. Okay, so this is our last one. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. We are going to talk about this one last thing before we do something that pastors have asked us to do. We're going to take communion here in a little bit, and it's going to signify something special for our time, our season, for where we're at. But honoring our God, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17 says this, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." I want to stop on that verse for a second. Because when we hear what the Word of God says about how to live a lifestyle of honor, and we hear what other people say, it should sound pretty foolish in comparison. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Those are not the voices that we should be listening to. It should be the word of God and to godly people with godly counsel. "As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." I love that verse. And that's like a 4-point plan to kingdom success right there. I mean, that's something that you could like put like on a wall of a workout facility, you know, of a soldier's training regiment place. I mean, that's just got it all right there. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We can do this. Not always the most easy thing for us to do, but you know, we can honor God in all these areas. Understand this, guys. We can honor God. It is not too much for us because God first honored us. Now, how do you say God first honored us? Well, he made you, for one. You're here. He created you. He designed you. He gave you your personality traits. He gave you your physical features. He planned you out and put you on this earth right here, right now, at this time. He gave you the breath of life. You're still standing. You're still here fighting the good fight of faith. Okay? God has honored you in so many ways that we may not even realize or recognize all throughout each and every day. And he's honored us. So God never expects us to do something for him that he has not already done for us. If God's called us to honor him, it's because he's honored us first. We can love God because he's first loved us. So what God expects of us is something that he's already done to us or for us. And the greatest way that God has honored us is through the giving of his own son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift given to all mankind, the greatest sacrifice that could be made by God himself is to do that for us, to send his perfect son, who was not guilty of anything, who then pled guilty for us, for our sins, for us to be forgiven. Okay, so God is calling us to a lifestyle of honor. Okay, and so we are committing as a church and individuals to jump out in faith and to begin to live a lifestyle of honor, even over and above wherever we're at, whether we have struggled with this, whether we don't have hardly any honor for anything at all in our life, or whether we're pretty far along and we're doing good, but we can always go to a new place in our relationship with Christ. We can always go deeper in the levels that we are serving him and where we are honoring those around us. Okay, now, like I said about who here was in the military, could you please raise your hand? I just want to see for a second. Okay, now, the military men know a thing or two about honor, about valor and service, about sacrifice, about, you know, saluting, showing respect to the superior officers. Those kinds of things are built in. They're ingrained. You know, you can say some things, but it better be accompanied by sir, if that's correct. But you know what? Kenton actually has deep-seated roots of honor in our town. See, there is the highest medal that can be awarded to a military serviceman, and that is the Medal of Honor, correct? Okay, we are actually the hometown of a man by the name of Jacob Parrott, and he is a recipient, one of the first ever recipients of the Medal of Honor, given during the Civil War. Okay, I actually was reading up on this, and he was part of a small group of men that were sent from Atlanta on a train to go to Chattanooga because the Union Army was wanting to attack the city of Chattanooga. But all along the way, they wanted to take out telegraph lines, take out bridges, take out railways. And so they were supposed to do all this stuff. And you know what? They gave it their best shot. But unfortunately, by the time they got to Chattanooga, some of the guys got captured or executed. Some of the other guys were able to escape. Their mission actually was not all that successful as far as of the damage that they did, but they put themselves in harm's way. They did some very honorable things, and they attempted to do what was asked of them. And then they were awarded the Medal of Honor. Now, I know in Kenton we've unfortunately got away from honor at different points in time or in our history. But guys, we're now at a place where God is calling us back to be a city of honor, to be a town where we honor those around us. Okay, because we started out with honor, one of the first ever Medal of Honor winners. Okay, and now through the changes, what God is doing through this church, and hopefully other churches in our community, how God's already been moving, he's taking us to a new place of honor. Amen. So we as a church need to commit to this, and ourselves personally and individually. So what we're going to do now is we are going to move into taking communion. And you know, I have it sitting right over here. So what I would like for us to do is the worship team's going to come back, and they're going to sing, well, not just sing a worship song, but they're going to lead us into a time of worship. And as we are in worship, singing to our Lord and our Savior Jesus, praising him for who he is, and giving honor to him, when you're led by the Spirit, you can come up here and take communion. Now, we're doing this because we're honoring Jesus. We're honoring God first and foremost for what he's done. So we're going to dedicate ourselves today in this time of worship, in this time of taking communion. And remember, church, this is a very holy and sacred thing that we're doing. Okay, we are remembering the broken body of Jesus, that he endured the cross, brutal torture. Didn't have any numbers, pain relievers, anything like that. His body was beaten beyond recognition. And he did that. His body was broken for us. Because God was honoring us. That he loves us so much that he would send his only son to die for us. And then Jesus has shed blood. That he took that blood and washed away our sin. Took away our shame if we put our faith in him. And as we have done so, we have to remember that. Okay, so as we take up communion today, as we remember the holy and the sacred act of Jesus, let us commit to God and to ourselves to living a lifestyle of honor and giving ourselves completely over to him. And let us springboard us into a new place in this area of our lives. So I'm going to read Matthew 26:26 real quick. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit." Oh, sorry. I'm done right there in 28. I just wanted to remind us about what we're doing here with taking communion and honoring God and committing ourselves to a lifestyle of honor. So the worship team is going to lead us in this song. And as we begin to worship, you guys can feel free to come up and take communion. And we're going to close in prayer.
Beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. Jesus Christ.
Relationships you have brought into our lives, the authority that's there for our good, appointed by you, God. We commit ourselves to you, to a lifestyle of honor, God, as a church and as individuals, God. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you for your wonderful, beautiful, and priceless and matchless name, God, the name above every name, the name that we call upon to be saved, the name that we call upon to live daily for you. Take up our cross and carry and give ourselves over to your lordship in our lives. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you for your faith.